Money 105.5 presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, from Rogerson Business Services, certified business broker, Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0.
Good morning and welcome to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and I've got two guests this morning. My first guest is a gentleman called Kevin Whelan, and my second guest is a gentleman called Hal Johnson. Kevin is the president and CFO of a company called the Beverly Group. It's based here in Granite Bay, and Kevin specializes in doing receiverships. And he has a partner who's the CEO of the company named Beverly McFarlane. So we'll be talking to Kevin about his experiences as a receivership. The economy's getting better, so maybe we think receiverships aren't required anymore, but maybe Kevin's got a different opinion, and we'll check that in with him. My second guest at the bottom of the hour is Hal Johnson, and Hal is the president of a company called Leadership One, based here in Sacramento, and a newer colleague of Hal's called Jim Sabraw. And Jim passed away last year, I think it was, and but I've always had great affection for what their company does. They help family-owned businesses move from one generation to the next generation. And Hal's written a book called The Game Changer. So I thought I'd talk to Hal about The Game Changer, and the book's about a one-on-one meeting system he's put together from his extensive years in business. So Hal will be the second guest of my show. If you're out driving and listening to the show and you hear something of inspiration, you'd like to go back and listen to it, you're welcome to go to my website, and each show is recorded. Each show is available on my website probably later on today. So go there, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com, and there's a tab there called Media. Click on the Media tab, a little drop-down comes up, says 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. Click on that, and it'll take you to the page on my website where you can listen to the show. So what's this show about? This show is for business owners or those dreaming of becoming a business owner and looking for more information. We cover topics that include selling a business, buying a business, or buying a franchise. And these topics can include finance, legal issues, tax, accounting, as well as sales and marketing. Or as today, it's about running a business and receiverships. Or as I like to say, this show is where Wall Street meets Main Street. My name is Andrew Rogerson. I'm a certified business broker and host of your show. I'm certified with the California Association of Business Brokers. I'm certified with International Business Brokers Association. I'm the author of four books: Successfully Start Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Franchise, and When You're Done, Successfully Selling Your Business. If you'd like more information, again, welcome to visit my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com, or you can always give me a call, 916-570-2674. Each show I like to mention a charity because I have a view that the world doesn't get better without charities. So if you like to support a charity, there's an event on Saturday, the 21st of September. It's at AM and it's called the Sacramento Heart Walk. It's for those who are fit and healthy. There's a 5K run and a 2-mile walk fun run. So there's two events that are happening on that day. It's taking place at William Land Park, which is on the corner of Freeport Boulevard and Sutterville Road in Sacramento. And there's raising funds, and the funds are to help the Scleroderma Society. So people with scleroderma have a tissue illness, and the charity is to raise money for their events. They're a big believer in research, education, support. So the charity is to help them. If you want more information, give them a call, 916-832-1102, and get involved in getting healthy. Saturday, the 21st of September at 8 a.m. at William Land Park in Sacramento. Each week I do a blog. This week I wrote a blog about how to choose between a C-Corp, an S-Corp, or an LLC. Get advice from an attorney, but if you want some more information, basic information, you're welcome to visit my blog and have a look at that, and then go from there. My first guest, a young gentleman called Kevin Whelan, and as I mentioned, Kevin handles receivership, and I've got Kevin here with me now. So, Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew. Good to be here with you.
Thank you for coming in and sharing your some experiences with me. I was talking to Kevin before we came to air, and he's been doing receiverships at different levels for quite some time. Kevin, tell me what was the excitement about getting into receiverships? Why would somebody, as a youngster, decide that heading in the path of doing receivership was a good thing to do?
Well, I'm not sure that you grow up thinking that I'd like to be a receiver. Most young boys think about playing baseball or running a large corporation or something of that sort.
Right.
And so I think most people, including myself, got into the receivership business, you know, by accident.
Right.
The way that happened for me is I was involved in various asset management and consulting work and received a call from an attorney friend of mine asking if I was interested in being a receiver.
Right.
And, you know, my response at that point, and this was in 1987, 1988, was, you know, what's a receiver? I'm
right.
not sure what a receiver does.
Sure.
And after it was explained to me, it was similar to the line of work that I was involved with. And,
right.
You know, thought, okay, well, let's give it a shot. And from there, things evolved. And here I am some years later still doing receivership cases.
So tell us, what is a receiver? That's because I think you've segued into very well with that. So what does a receiver do? What do you, yeah.
Well, generally, a receiver is inserted in various legal disputes by a judge and is appointed by a court as an independent officer of the court. And your job is to act as an independent third party to protect and preserve assets while there's an underlying legal dispute going on.
Right.
The essence of the job is to protect and preserve the assets, typically.
Yep.
But you can play many roles in a case.
Right.
You can play a role as an operator of a business.
Right.
You can play a role of protecting, preserving various real estate assets.
Yep.
You can be put in to liquidate various assets by the court and put in the middle of marital disputes
right.
that involve assets. So there's a lot of different roles that the receiver can play depending on the wishes of the court.
So in my simplistic world, the assets can't talk for themselves because they're pieces of furniture or a piece of a building or whatever, so they don't have a voice, and so it'd be your role to control, to protect the assets and make sure their value is protected so the disputing parties can do what they choose to do, but somebody has to look after that asset. Otherwise, if it's not done, the assets can get messed up in that process.
Well, often when people are involved in legal disputes, you know, their business judgment sometimes may not be the best.
Right, right.
And the idea is while they're confronting each other, at least
yep.
let's protect the
assets
and, yep. and keep things going and maintain the status quo.
Yep.
The other types of disputes which are most common in receiverships involve, especially these days, involve real estate assets
right.
where
right.
there may be non-payment on a loan of some sort in a commercial building, whatever the case may be.
Okay.
And so as receiver, you're inserted in, you know, by the court at the request of the lender
right.
to, you know, capture the money, take care of the asset, make sure the you know, the various bills are paid for, insurance
right.
is in place, and things of that sort to protect the interests of the
yep.
parties.
So the banks are involved in lending, and they don't want to get involved in being a receiver because that just distracts them from what their core business is, which is lending money and making sure they're getting payment on money. So that's where they should focus. But that would bring you in if there's a downside to their lending. They need somebody to help take care of that while they focus on, you know, getting more loans in place, etc.
Correct. And one of the things that I find out in these receiver cases is oftentimes the lenders aren't fully aware of what's going on with the different assets that are out there.
Okay.
Case in point, insurance issues that may arise. I've had cases in the past where they may not have proper insurance on a building or on a construction project.
Right.
I in fact had a case years ago in Sacramento where it was a project that was under construction.
Right.
The construction had stopped. Project was fenced in.
Yep.
The company had a course of construction policy that was no longer valid with the cessation of work.
Right.
And so what happened is the lender had certificates, you know, advised, oh, there's insurance in place. I dug into the policies, got the policies, read through them, and found
right.
out that the policy was no longer valid.
Right.
Well, I came home from vacation one Sunday evening to watch the 11 o'clock news to see my project burning to the ground. And so, thankfully, days before, I had put in a new insurance policy
wow.
on that project.
Wow.
And, you know, obviously all the parties were very pleased that
absolutely.
Had happened.
Yeah.
The only party that was not pleased was
the insurance
company
yeah,
that
exactly.
ended up paying, you know, a fair amount. But
right.
It was a very expensive policy under,
yeah.
under the circumstances, as you can imagine anyway.
Yep, it was a good investment.
And you know, that's just the way it goes
right.
at times in that business.
So what's the background? If you went through college, what was your interest to be able to be successful as a receiver? What are some of the education that you did to help you get to where you're to become a receiver?
Well, my In college, I was a business major.
Okay.
And so obviously the different things you learn about business and the experience you have through that is certainly valuable.
Right.
The best experience I think that I had involved running our own firm.
Right.
For many years, our firm was a national asset management company. We did contract work for the FDIC, the RTC, the FSLIC, and the FADA, for those that go way back that might remember that.
Right.
And those agencies would be appointed as receiver for various banks and savings and loans that were taken over.
Sure.
And so we would come in and manage the assets for those savings and loans. And at one point, our company had offices in Sacramento, Denver, and Tampa.
Right.
And so aside from being on the road all the time and keeping the operation going, we learned a tremendous amount about operating a business, running a staff, running assets, and how it all integrates and goes together.
Yep.
And so I'll point to that as the best learning experience that I had, on the job training, if you will. And that's always something that I go back to in these cases when I end up being inserted in a business of some sort.
Yep.
There's nothing more valuable than running a business with your own money and making decisions with your own money.
Exactly.
As far as applying that to someone else's business.
Yep. I'm getting my producer waving hands saying it's getting time for a break. So maybe we'll take a break there and we'll have back some more questions. My guest this morning is Kevin Whelan. Kevin's with the Beverly Group, and we're talking about his role as a receiver. And when we come back from break, I've got some more questions for Kevin. So thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. We'll be back shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Is your child receiving the excellent preschool education that'll help him grow to his full potential? Wouldn't you like them to be in a preschool where they learn phonics skills in small groups that lead to early reading? El Rancho's well-rounded program includes daily art, singing, helper time, and free snacks and lunch. Children have enrichment classes in music, PE, Spanish, and gymnastics. They enjoy playtime in the beautiful park-like campus where safety and security are paramount. Stop by El Rancho's gated school or online at elranchoschool.com.
Is your child receiving the excellent education that will help him grow to his full potential? Wouldn't you like them to be in an elementary school where the class sizes are small and distraction-free? Teachers at El Rancho School give their students individual attention. Students become super scientists, mathematicians, and outstanding readers and writers. With enrichment classes in music, PE, and Spanish, El Rancho students are not only top scholars, but they love school. Stop by El Rancho's gated school for a tour or online at elranchoschool.com.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of four books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest this morning is Kevin Whelan, and Kevin's with the Beverly Group, and Kevin's a receiver, and there's a lady that works in the Beverly Group called
Beverly McFarland.
McFarland. Thank you, yeah. I had it written down somewhere, and Beverly's a trustee, so I was just talking to Kevin during the break. The distinction between a receiver and a trustee, just in simple terms, what's the difference between a receiver and a trustee?
Well, basically a receiver is typically appointed in state court and takes a custodial interest in the assets that they're working on. A trustee is appointed in a bankruptcy scenario, Chapter 7 trustee, Chapter 11 trustee, and plays a slightly different role. It's a fiduciary. You're acting as a third party,
right?
But slightly different role for the trustee than the receiver.
Yep, very good. So I'm I don't think there's many receivers around. Is there a slew of receivers hanging around right now because there's lots of work to do, or is it something fairly specialized?
Well, it's wholly dependent on the market. I think it hit the nail on the head. When there's a lot of foreclosures, real estate foreclosures, things of that sort going on,
yep.
People who are into property management, other types of consulting roles often will take on the role of receiver. As foreclosures wind down, the market improves. Generally, there's fewer receivers in the marketplace.
Right.
As far as our business goes,
yeah.
You know, we've been doing this through the various ups and downs in the markets over
right.
the years
right.
and have really not seen a big fluctuation in our business.
Right.
You know, I think primarily because we do the specialty work, not only what's called the rents and profits cases, which is a basic foreclosure scenario, but also, you know, various equity cases and business cases.
Right.
And interestingly, sometimes the business cases pick up in
right.
times when the market is really good.
Right.
What happens in that scenario, you have two partners, all of a sudden you're making a lot of money and the partners may start arguing about the money that they're making.
Right.
You know, as opposed to now, they're arguing about not making enough. And,
sure.
and then obviously the lenders come into play.
Yep. So I think you mentioned this before, the receiver is appointed by the bankruptcy court. Is that typical?
No, typically the receiver is appointed by the state court.
The state court.
Yes.
Okay.
And in receivers can play a role in bankruptcy, but typically do not.
Right.
I've been a receiver in a bankruptcy case before. I've done
right.
that several times.
Yep.
But the typical scenario that can happen is the receiver is appointed in state court. Perhaps the defendant in the case may file bankruptcy.
Right.
And at that point, the receiver is required to turn over the assets
yep.
to either the debtor or the appointed trustee, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
There is a process where the plaintiff in the state court case may apply to the bankruptcy court to have the receiver remain in place.
Right.
My experience on that is most of the time they do not.
Right. Okay. What's your sense of what's happening in the economy? You're here in Granite Bay in Sacramento area, so predominantly the work you're doing is local in terms of the assets you're protecting. Are you thinking things are getting better, or you're a bit like me? I'm skeptical things are getting better. I think the economy is definitely getting better, but what do you see from your perspective?
Well, I'm skeptical that things are getting a lot better as well.
Right.
In terms of the volume of cases that we're seeing far fewer what's called rents and profits cases where
right.
a commercial building or something
yes.
of the sort is,
yes.
is defaulted and a receiver is put in place.
Yep.
We are still getting a lot of calls and a lot of interest in equity cases and businesses,
right.
small
okay.
businesses that still have issues. You know, I think, you know, that tells you that the economy isn't entirely healthy at this
right.
point and still has a ways to go.
Yep.
I think things are improved from where they were, you know, several years ago.
Yep.
Probably still headed in that direction.
Right.
But I'm in the camp that things are perhaps improving slowly.
Yep.
Maybe more
yep.
slowly than people desire.
Yep. Yep. No, that's kind of my feeling as well, that we're getting there, but it's hard work. So it is what it is, but it seems hard work. So if the judge makes an appointment to have you appointed as a receiver, what's the reaction from the defendant normally? Are they pleased to have you there or not?
Most often the defendant isn't happy that you're showing up in their workplace and
right.
delivering an order saying, you know, essentially I'm now in charge of
your
business.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, that's a difficult situation at times
right.
and
right.
And a difficult one to navigate.
Yep.
You know, I try to tell people when I come in, you know, to their business, to their asset, whatever the case may be,
yep.
that not that I'm here to help,
right. Right.
but I'm here to do a job.
Exactly.
And I have a court order and this is what I need to do. And there's really two ways that it gets accomplished.
Right.
You know, you cooperate and we work
yep.
together and
yep.
we follow through and fulfill what the order asks that
yep.
I do.
Yep.
Because the alternative, you know, it results in a lot of legal expense and other
right.
unnecessary expenses that ultimately comes out of the money in the estate.
Right.
And, you know, I haven't had cases where I've not carried out the order
right.
that I'm required to do.
Yep.
And so it's going to get there one way or another. And it's
right.
and it's beneficial for everybody just to work through this. And,
yep.
and whatever disputes and issues you have, those are taken up with the judge, not
yep.
with the receiver.
So would you typically require or request the defendant to leave you alone? I'm using leave you alone in inverted commas, but is it your preference to have them there available and just be and bring them in as you need them, or are you comfortable working in the – I guess it depends on the personalities of the defendant.
Very much depends on the personality of the defendant in the case.
Right.
I would say in most cases that does not work out very well.
Yep.
Usually they're so wrapped in the legal dispute.
Right.
Often they're angrier there.
Yes.
And that's a difficult person to work with.
Right.
Released, for a better word, the defendant in the matter from the business,
yep.
You'd be amazed some of the things that can open up in a business because the legal dispute kind of envelops everything that's going on there.
Sure.
And so you'll find sometimes that there's other abilities, things that are going on that you can improve and enhance
right.
Without, you know, the umbrella of the legal dispute hovering in the office all the time.
Sure. How do you get paid? That's one of the questions, I guess, if somebody's having to be forced to accept the receiver come into the business. How do you typically get paid?
Get paid out of money in the estate. And okay. So in the case of a piece of real estate, let's say, we would be paid out of the revenue that comes into the project.
Right.
That's all subject to approval by the court.
Okay.
And so you may be paid on an intermittent basis throughout the case, but right. At the end of the final order, it's ultimately approved. In some cases, there's not sufficient cash flow to pay yourself right. either through the building operations or the business operations.
Yep.
And in those cases, we go back to the court and request what's called a receiver certificate, which is a borrowing instrument to okay. Borrow money from one or the parties in the case or a third party
yep.
to bring money into the matter to pay for the expense of the receiver.
Yep. We're close to running out of time, Kevin. A couple more minutes, but how long does a case typically last? How long's your appointment normally?
The cases, you know, it really varies on the type of case. Your typical rents and profits case, where someone hasn't been paying on a loan, that type of yep. thing, is you know 6 months or so,
right.
plus or minus.
Yep.
Some of the business cases can be more involved and right. last a year or more.
Right.
We've had cases that have lasted several years.
Yep.
And so it just really depends on the case, but generally, you know, four months, 6 months on the short side.
Yep.
A couple years on the kind of the extreme side.
And how do you know when you're finished? How do you say to yourself, okay, I'm done. I need to move on and do something else.
Well, it's prescribed generally by the order on as far as what it is you're to do. If it's right. to protect and preserve. You know, the roadmap on that is usually the resolution of the litigation between the parties.
Okay.
And so once they've come to a settlement or once there's a resolution, that would be that.
Yep.
In the alternative, the parties may agree or the judge may order that an asset be sold.
Right.
And then the sale of the asset would then, you know, prescribe the termination of the receivership at that yep. point.
I think it's fascinating. You know, business comes in different sizes and different needs, and the work of receiver, you're playing a critical role in protecting the value of an asset. So I think that's just a great service because if two parties get together and they're not happy, lender and the owner of a business, the owner of some real estate, and they're not working together, they're working in different directions, then the asset will go down in value because nobody's paying attention to it. So your role is critical. If somebody has questions, are they able to give you a call? Are you comfortable if I give out your phone number?
Oh, sure.
Yep. The number I've got here is 916-783-3552. Have I got that right?
Yes.
Yep. Kevin, thanks for being a guest this morning. Just intriguing to talk about receiverships and Chapter 11 bankruptcies. My guest this morning was Kevin Whelan. He's with the Beverly Group in Granite Bay. Again, if you've got questions for Kevin, 916-783-3552. Kevin, thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Okay, and we're heading to break. We're back from break shortly. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. We'll talk to you shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Life is too short to worry about what you should or shouldn't eat. If it's a health issue, that's one thing. But if it's dentures or missing teeth, don't waste another day. You need to go see Doctors Michael Mullen and Brian Harris. like-minded established leaders in basic implant technology or permanent tooth replacement. You'd be surprised how much better life is when you can eat whatever you want, smile like there's no tomorrow, and laugh until it hurts without being concerned about your dentures falling out. Doctors Mullen and Harris are always on the cutting edge of dental implant technology. You can restore the feel and function of missing teeth, and it can be as simple and easy as having a tooth filled. Don't wait another day. Call Doctors Michael Mullen and Brian Harris and schedule a 30-minute complimentary consultation with x-rays, 916-773-7300. They're the dental implant experts you can trust to do exceptional work. Eat, smile, laugh, and enjoy. Call Doctors Mullen and Harris at 773-7300. That's 773-7300.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest this morning for the rest of the show is a gentleman called Hal Johnson. And Hal's involved with a local business here called Leadership One. Hal, have I got you there or not? I think you're there somewhere.
Yep.
There you go.
What was it?
Hal, you there?
Yes.
Good. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. I know we're here to talk about your book, The Game Changer, and it's got a subtitle of the one-on-one meeting system, but I know you've been involved with Leadership One for many years. Tell us a little bit about Leadership One. What have they been involved doing?
Well, Leadership One is a consulting firm that deals with business transition needs of client companies, primarily family businesses. I've been doing this about 16 and 17 years now, but before that I was a CEO of several companies applying a lot of the best practices that I now teach along with my partners at Leadership One.
So if somebody's listening to the show and they have a family business and they're saying, I'm the owner of the business, I'm the patriarch or the matriarch of the business, and I'm getting on in years, and I wonder if my children are ready to take on the business, they would be a good custom from you. If I said that well?
That's kind of our sweet spot, helping families prepare for that event. There's a living plan and there's the death plan that happens if you aren't prepared.
Right.
And we certainly see the upside of helping families prepare as much as possible for an orderly transition and preparing. There's three areas that we like to make sure are addressed. You want to hear those?
Absolutely, I do.
Okay, first is the ownership transfer, making sure that as tax-friendly as possible, the properties involved are transferred to the next generation.
Right.
Secondly is how the entity will be governed. So the governance process, generally transferring to that next generation, is good to have a board of directors or an advisory board involved in helping with that transition. And then the third area is management. And preparing management to run the business is an area that I particularly enjoy and am more involved in than my colleagues, since that's my particular background.
Yep. And Is there a typical business? As I'm hearing you, I'm thinking a lot of the clients you'd help would probably be in agriculture and the farming industry. Would that be right, or do you touch other industries as well?
Oh, a little bit of everything, Andrew. We've dealing with manufacturing, service companies, construction, the whole gambit.
Yep.
And yes, there are a few. Probably we have at least a half a dozen ag families that we've worked with and are working with currently, but it's equally represented by other industries.
And how long is somebody saying, okay, we'd like Leadership One to come in and help us? Is there an average length of time you'd be engaged for? Or, you know, obviously each engagement would have its own personality and its own characteristics, but is there a typical, if somebody said to you, how long would we need your services? Is there a simple answer to that, or is there a long answer?
Oh, it's probably a medium answer, but
okay.
I'll try to shorten it.
Okay.
It really depends on how prepared the company, the business is. Some of our clients, they've sent their kids off to get their MBAs,
yep.
and others have little or no education, so it's depending on how the family has prepared their members to take that company and move it to the next level. Essentially, management knowledge is critical,
right.
And if they don't have that, then it takes us longer to help them get it,
sure.
So that they are prepared to manage their company well. So, again, it depends on where they're starting from. Generally, to go through the whole process, it might involve 18 months to 2 years,
right.
Depending how intense the company wants to attack the opportunity.
Sure. And if they're looking to hire Leadership One, obviously you'd want to present a philosophy, I'm sure, because they would want to make sure your way of doing business and your values and your ethics fit comfortably with what they do. So is there a...
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. We develop a very close relationship with the family during this time. Our goal is to become a trusted advisor.
Okay.
And that doesn't happen overnight.
Sure.
We start with a family meeting. We want to hear their values,
yep.
and their vision as to where they want their company to go.
Right.
And then we share from our background how we've worked in this field. My founding partner, I've known for 25, 26 years. He was actually consulting while I was still running businesses, but then we hooked up, it's about 15 years ago,
right.
With Leadership One, and we've been doing that ever since. So we've seen scores of family business transitions. Each one's a little different,
right?
And they're all good references for us in the event a family business wants to know how we've done with similar engagements.
Right. Who was your founding partner?
Kurt Glassman.
Okay.
He was formerly a CPA in one of the Big Five.
Right.
And so Kurt and I founded Leadership One, and now there's seven of us,
right.
Including Kurt's son.
Right.
He's been with us a couple of years. He came out of banking.
Yep.
So we have varied backgrounds to help address the varied business opportunities that there are out there.
Yep. And at the start of the show, I mentioned a gentleman who I've got to know at a breakfast meeting on a Wednesday morning. His name was Jim Sabraw, and unfortunately, Jim passed away recently. And I had great respect for Jim, his gentle nature and very deep understanding of businesses. I always enjoyed having a conversation with Jim. I know he was a great colleague with you.
Yes, Jim was an incredibly wonderful colleague, friend. Extremely knowledgeable about marketing, and he probably had a Rolodex, mm-hmm. that wouldn't fit in a blimp hanger.
Right, right.
He knew everybody, yeah. in Sacramento, and
yep.
just a lovely, lovely human being, and we miss him dearly.
Yep.
He's been gone about a year now.
Yep, that's what I thought was 12 months. So, yeah, I know it's time flies, but Jim was a good guy. Can you throw a couple of examples of some of the families you've helped? I think it's often condense a couple of examples of what some of the transitions you've done successfully, just to give a feel for some of the things that you've been involved with.
Well, a couple that you might recognize is Sierra Nevada Brewery. Ken Grossman is founder, owner, and I think they're celebrating their 30th anniversary this year.
Right.
This was about 5 or 6 years ago I started working with Ken, and he wanted to step back and not be involved as much in the day-to-day, and he had a son and daughter coming along.
Yep.
So I helped the company develop a leadership team so that they could absorb a lot of the things that Ken had been doing.
Yep.
Of course, this set the stage for Ken having the time to build his second brewery, which is underway back in North Carolina as we speak.
Right.
And that's probably one style of business transition planning. Another would be like Interstate Oil, where the family has now transitioned to the next generation.
Right.
And Brent Andrews is the new president. And we've been working with them about 18 months, 2 years, and it's the ownership transfer, helping him with that. Secondly, with the governance, helping set up an advisory board. And then lastly, the management development, working with Brent and his leadership team to develop best business practices, performance management, to make sure they're running the business as effectively as they can. So there's a lot of new knowledge and new skills involved in developing this management structure and the processes to enable them to be highly, highly effective.
Would it be true to say that the larger the family, the more diverse the family, the more complicated it is for you to step in and bring the company together? It's probably the more important you do that, because the more diverse and the more challenges there are, the greater the need for your services. But would that be a fair statement, that the more...
That's a fair statement, Andrew. We have one client, I think there's 40-some family members involved.
Goodness.
And my partner, Kurt, works primarily with them.
Yeah.
And just orchestrating the family meetings is no small matter.
Yeah.
But without some type of organization, common vision, and structure... then you're leaving a lot to chance.
Yes.
And it's critically important that families maintain harmonious relationships if they're going to be able to keep their family and their business together.
Yep. It's the word discipline is really so true in business. And I'm just, as you're talking, I'm just thinking there's just a need for discipline, for people to recognize they're part of a team or part of a family. And there's discipline in the way they communicate and the way they interact with each other. And if that discipline's not there, they're in trouble.
And we usually do an assessment at the beginning of an engagement, and we always find everyone says that they need more communication.
Right.
Yep. And sure enough, they're right. they often have not been talking about the kind of issues, the kind of vision that they need that will help them all commit to a common direction.
Now we're going to take a break. I'm going to have some questions for you about the game changer when we come back break. We're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. We'll be back from break shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 105.5 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Is your child receiving the excellent preschool education that'll help him grow to his full potential? Wouldn't you like them to be in a preschool where they learn phonics skills in small groups that lead to early reading? El Rancho's well-rounded program includes daily art, singing, helper time, and free snacks and lunch. Children have enrichment classes in music, PE, Spanish, and gymnastics. They enjoy playtime in the beautiful park-like campus where safety and security are paramount. Stop by El Rancho's gated school or online at elranchoschool.com.
Is your child receiving the excellent education that will help him grow to his full potential? Wouldn't you like them to be in an elementary school where the class sizes are small and distraction-free? Teachers at El
Del Rancho School give their students individual attention. Students become super scientists, mathematicians, and outstanding readers and writers. With enrichment classes in music, PE, and Spanish, El Rancho students are not only top scholars, but they love school. Stop by El Rancho's gated school for a tour or online at elranchoschool.com.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of four books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live 10 a.m. Tuesdays right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest this morning is Hal Johnson. And Hal's the author of a book called The Game Changer, and has a subtitle called The One-on-One Meeting System. Hal, just give us a little quick overview of The Game Changer. What's the book about?
What I find in most businesses are very casual and informal communication sessions between managers and their direct reports. And what I've learned over the years, in fact, I picked it up from my mentor 30 years ago, is that planned, structured one-on-one meetings are powerful in the results they can support in addressing relationships, communication, all the business processes, delegation, accountability, building your culture. And something I keep stressing is, let's keep getting better. And you need some kind of a system to support that process. And I call that the one-on-one meeting system.
So the one-on-one meeting system, it dovetails. There's obviously a need to have group meetings and team meetings and those sorts of things. But you're suggesting that's at one level. You need to go deeper inside that, and the one-on-one meeting process allows for much more depth and much more closer communication about what's happening and where things are going.
Right. For example.
Yes.
If you were my direct report,
yep.
I'd say, Andrew, here's how this system works.
Right.
What I'd like you to do is, let's calendar, we're going to meet every other week, let's say for an hour,
yep.
And I want you to prepare the agenda. And what I want you to certainly include is how your direct reports are doing, who your strong ones are, those who are average performers, and those who need some remedial attention. And what you're doing about that to help them keep growing. What are the special projects you're working on? What are the issues coming up in the next 90 days that we ought to be thinking about? So it's an opportunity for me to mentor you and coach you in how to keep growing as we grow the business. The most common cause of business failure is the business grows, but the people don't. So we need to have some kind of ongoing growth process, and this is one that works so effectively in the mentoring and coaching area. What happens is, as you have these meetings over several months, you keep a folder of these agendas and you start seeing a pattern. You really can accurately assess what kind of a player you've got as a direct report. Are they an A player where they're always looking for additional areas to contribute? Or do you have to keep nudging them? So when it comes to the annual review, you've got all the information you need to give a very comprehensive performance review. Without this, you get an undesirable or abysmal result very often when there hasn't been adequate preparation. So this is one area of benefit of the one-on-one meeting system.
Well, I love what you've done because you've turned the current business model on its head. What I mean by that is that it's generally the perception of management that they're in control. They dictate the meetings and they prepare the agenda and they tell their people what they want them to do. But you're suggesting the complete opposite. Have I got that right?
Absolutely. The good ideas ought to be bubbling up. That's the way you grow a company. If all of the ideas get handed down from the top of the organization chart, then you have stunted the growth of your organization. You've cut yourself off from some of the very best thinking. And the way to grow a company is hire great people and give them a wonderful opportunity to contribute and be recognized, show appreciation, and that's truly the foundation for a successful company.
So if I have a direct report, or maybe I've got five or six direct reports, because that's what the typical business model is, that the manager would have a number of direct reports, you'd expect each direct report to prepare the agenda. Do they bring it to the meeting, or do they send it ahead a week before the meeting, or a day before the meeting?
Oh, I suggest a day or two before the meeting. Let's go back to our example that you're my direct report.
Yep.
And what I might do, Andrew, is I may email you during the week and say, hey, add this to our agenda, or think this through and come back with some ideas about how we might implement this. So I could be adding to your agenda during the week, and then when I get it, I look it over and see if there's anything that might be missing that we could add to make it a robust, meaningful meeting. So this happens at three levels in an organization. There's the executive level, I call it, the CEO and his direct reports. Then the direct reports have middle managers that report to them, and they have the same kind of meeting. The third level, and there's variations on this, there could be three or four levels depending on the size of the organization.
Sure.
But the bottom one is that frontline organization. And those rarely would be one-on-ones. They're more like one-on-fives or one-on-sevens, where you're working with a team of people who are that front line. For example, in a construction company, they'd be out there with the shovels and whatnot, making things happen at the construction site.
Yep.
So each one's a little different, but the idea is, and this is one of my clients is Bob Clark over at Clark Pacific, and he sent me a note after we had helped him implement this system and saying, Hal, for the first time, I feel like I have impact on the front line,
right,
down through the network of one-on-one meetings.
Yep.
So it's a powerful, powerful tool. We've helped install it at Sierra Nevada. Oh, there's probably about 10 or 12 companies now that we've implemented this, and it's an amazing process.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, because I spent 5 years working at HP, and the HP model, I hate to say it, was very top-driven down. That the managers up top would tell you what they expected, and you had to deliver to their expectations. And you said, I wrote it down as you were talking, you made a statement before, the good ideas should be bubbling up from the bottom. I just think that's such a powerful thing, because it's the people that they're at the coalface, they're the ones talking to the customers and getting feedback from people, and they're the ones, if they're cut loose and they're empowered and encouraged, they can make all the difference in the company.
Right. And it's interesting, when I ask a CEO or a senior manager if they have one-on-ones, they say, oh, yeah, I probably have a half a dozen a day with my various direct reports.
Right.
Well, what they're describing are hallway encounters or drive-by meetings that have no agenda, there's no plan, and they're just a quick exchange of information.
Right.
What I'm talking about is where we're developing in-depth knowledge and relationships and plans that have impact. So on one hand, what I described initially, that's so superficial, it gets very, very meaningless kinds of results. But one that's really planned, and you think about how robust you can make this meeting,
yep,
that's where good stuff happens.
The book's called The Game Changer, the one-on-one meeting system. Where's the book available from? Is it available off Amazon and those sorts of places?
It should be by next week.
By next week, okay.
We just got published, and it'll be showing up at Amazon. Or if you want to go to our website and shoot us an email, we'll send you a copy.
So what's the website? Help us with that.
LeadershipOne.net.
Okay, so you can go and get more information about Leadership One. And I did spend a bit of time talking to Hal about Leadership One. So if you have an interest in their services, there you've got their web address. So www.leadershipone.net. And you can also buy a copy of the book off the website. Or if you've got questions for Hal, I think Hal's got a phone number he's comfortable with me giving out, 916-391-3042. Is that the right number, Hal?
That's it. And yeah. I would welcome any questions, absolutely.
Hal, thanks for being a guest this morning. I do love what you've put together with the Game Changer and the meeting system, because I've worked in large corporations, as I mentioned. I've worked at HP, and one of the things I thought they could improve so much was how they put together meetings. So thank you for joining me this morning and being a guest on the show.
Hey, thank you very much, Andrew.
Thank you. My show next week, I've got two guests. My first guest is Reg Carter from Carter Sartain, and my second guest is Bill Duffler. And Bill's the current SCORE chairman, and SCORE does a bunch of things to help small businesses. So I've got Reg Carter and Bill Duffler next week on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.